It is the Monday Morning Show, and today we've got a special live edition of Dig Deep featuring our liberal commentator, Aaron Brown, our conservative, Chuck Marone. I'm Heidi Holton. And so not only are they here live, but this is a call-in segment. You can call in a question to Chuck and Aaron or comment, or you can email us, comments at kexe.org. Our phone number is 800-662-5799. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Hey.
Good to be here.
I realize that it's not that early anymore. Like, it's, you know, it's after 8. But I am so not a morning person. I'm sitting here going, we usually record these in the afternoon. Yeah. And I'm sitting here with my Mountain Dew going, oh my gosh, I'm really tired.
Well, you had to drive pretty early.
I drove from Brainerd up. And then we had our staff retreat at Strong Towns this weekend. So I actually didn't get to bed till like 1 in the morning last night. And that's after like a long weekend of hanging out with friends and doing some work. So
I was doing a crossword puzzle well past 10:30 last night. Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we'll try to be on our
crazy
top,
guys there.
Yeah. We'll try to be on our top game.
But. Okay. So folks can call in if they want to participate or just listen in as we begin this conversation. Now, Aaron, you kind of posed this to us. And in some ways, I think this idea that we're going to be talking about for at least some of this conversation is what we always talk about in some ways. Because
it's like the theme of our whole show, really.
Yeah. It's about rural people, small town people in Minnesota, and whether our concerns or our needs in terms of politics, in terms of government, are being heard, being met, mm-hmm. Or, you know, and also kind of a broader conversation about media and what gets covered in this area. So how do we want to start this in terms of what you guys talk about today?
Well, you know, the reason I thought of the idea of talking about what we were talking about in your promos, I think, leading into mm-hmm. the show was, you know, you look at national politics, it's kind of this inescapable force on our television screens and on our computers and phones. And you look at, you know, the sides and the arguments that you see projected onto that big screen. And it's really hard to see exactly how that affects the day-to-day lives of people, you know, here in northern Minnesota or anywhere, you know, any town, any city, any place, any neighborhood. It's really hard to see exactly how it affects people, except in certain instances of people who are affected by some policy decision. But a lot of people, I think, live insulated from this, but they still have very strong opinions because of how they feel about national politics. And I hope that maybe we can get today, and what we try to do on Dig Deep is try to get people who might disagree about the, you know, the tribalism, the which flag you fly in terms of politics, talking about the things we can do together on the ground level here in northern Minnesota. And there might be disagreements, but I think, you know, what I've enjoyed about working with you and Chuck on this show is we might fundamentally disagree about certain things, but we can usually find something that if we don't agree, we at least acknowledge we can work together on, you know, and that's I think what I'd like to hear more about. And I guess the question I'd pose to the audience, and Chuck might have another question, but my question would be, what in politics is affecting your life right now and what could we do about it? And that's, I think, something I hope all of us who are involved in our communities could take and run with.
I've said that I'm not looking forward to 2020, and I'm really not, because I feel like right now, like on Twitter, I don't follow the president. Like, I don't subscribe mm-hmm. To the president's Twitter account, but so many people who I do subscribe
same,
to follow
here.
Him.
Yeah, you really can't unfollow him because
no,
somebody will reply to something he says, and it'll end up projected into your timeline.
Right, and so I feel like there's no, even if you want to, even if we want to escape like the national media dialogue and what that does, I think really, like, you know, to get us all fighting and angry at each other and seeing and questioning the worst in the other, it's so hard to avoid, even if you intentionally try to. And so I do think that there is this kind of dueling challenges that we face here in rural America. And one is to have our own authentic dialogue, one that is apart from this kind of national craziness. Because we, you know, unlike people who live in big cities where you can be a little bit anonymous, we have to live together. And I mean, I live at Brainerd. It's a town of 14,000. I don't know everybody there, but you know, there's, you don't talk to someone long when you find an intersection with someone you do know. There's a ripple effect there with everything we do. And so we have to learn to live together. I think the other thing is that by doing that, by learning to live together and creating our own authentic voice, I think we can be heard again. So much of our national policy response, I think, is tone deaf to small towns in rural America. And sometimes it's not tone deaf in terms of its intentions, but I think it's tone deaf in terms of the impact and response. Small towns, rural areas are not just mini versions of suburbs and big cities. They're not, you know, Grand Rapids is not just a small version of Minneapolis and the surrounding suburbs. It's a completely different kind of ecosystem. And I think when we don't recognize that, when we don't understand that, we come up with like one size fits all policies, one size fits all approaches that maybe, and I don't know, maybe I'd be generous, work in Minneapolis and work in Brooklyn Park and work in Rogers and Maple Grove, but don't, you know, work here. And I think that's the nuance that I'd like to get to.
And I think there's also a lot of stereotype in political discussions about rural America, an assumption that, you know, if you're from, because I'm from the range, and so the assumption that if you're talking about an Iron Range community, that community would be filled 100% with people who are exactly what you think they are, you know, that they're all working at the mine, or their husbands work at the mine, or some stereotype of exactly what an Iron Range community is. And what I hope we're able to do is talk about the fact that, you know, while mining is a major industry on the Iron Range, there are a lot of different people. And just because someone even is a miner doesn't mean you can predict exactly what they want, exactly what they care about, based on some national interpretation of the issue of mining, for instance. It's really frustrating to watch how much that happens, and how hard it is to respond and try to open people's minds about that. But I'd encourage people to, you know, think about all the different things in our community, and how even somebody who, you know, if you, just because you're a conservative from a small town, you know, or a liberal teacher, you know, for instance, doesn't mean you can't have goals that are compatible, you know, and there's something there that I think is really important for our way out of this mess in this country.
You can call and join this conversation now, 800-662-5799.
The nuance is, I think, the thing that we've really tried hard to get to here. You know, I think we're all, I hope we are, evolving to a point nationally where we look at, say, the Black perspective, and we're smart enough now to say there isn't a Black perspective. There are a lot of African American people, and they have very different opinions on many, many things. There's a lot of deep nuance there. Mm-hmm. And when we try to, as a media, as a culture, simplify it down and say Blacks believe X, we recognize that that is just like a ridiculous statement. I think the same thing goes, like you're suggesting, Aaron. You know, an Iron Ranger believes X. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I couldn't even tell you what that is, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because there's so much nuance and there's so much overlap. We've been trending in this part of the woods to be red in terms of our politics. This area voted for Donald Trump. We've now elected our second Republican representative to the U.S. Congress in my lifetime.
70 years, yeah, since 1946.
And so you see these, you know, I think from a, you're going to put us in a box. I think you'd say, well, you know, this is Trump country now. And the thing is, I go around and yeah, there's a lot of Trump supporters here. I think the reasons why we have Trump supporters here, and when you talk to Trump supporters and you listen to them and try to respect what they're saying, you get a very different message than when I'm in, say, Texas and I talk to Trump supporters. Their motivations for supporting Donald Trump are very different. So I think that when we are reduced to well, you're red district now, you're a rural district, you're just like every other rural district, and, you know, ergo, the policies are the same, and the response is the same, and the box we're going to put you in is the same. I think what we lose is just that local nuance, and I feel like that's what we've been, like, struggling to bring forth and kind of hash mm-hmm. over.
And like, the 8th Congressional District, which covers, I think, almost all of Northern Community Radio land, a little bit of 7th District too, I'm aware of. But that 8th District is such a diverse place geographically, not even just, never mind the people who are also diverse, but, you know, there's a lot of different kinds of communities here. Even in our listening area, there are different kinds of communities. And while, like you point out, you could look at the big picture trend of where the votes are going in these individual places, sometimes it's going the other way, you know, and that's the nuance that I think is really important. And the fact that even in a community that, you know, 60% voted for Donald Trump, let's say, that even in that community, you might find support for things that, you know, Donald Trump doesn't talk about or support himself, you know? And so that's I think the part of this that's really important. And yeah, we always do these recordings, and I always say, I'm contractually bound to mention my research that I'm working on for my book, but looking at I'm in the newspapers of 1915 Hibbing, it's impressive. I think the biggest difference is the local focus of the editors and writers of the newspaper. There is national news. It is sometimes filtered through the local bias. You know, we don't like this guy. He's a Democrat or whatever. At the time, it was a Republican area. You know, whatever that is. But it's just a sideline. It's just, here's a little bit of news from the national picture. Spanish. Something's going on in Spain. But the big focus was on local issues, and then how state and county issues affect those local issues. But the hierarchy is clear: local first, then the county, then the state, then the federal. And I think what's happened now, and I think Chuck and I, we've talked about this, it's inverted.
It's completely inverted.
We argue, the things you hear argued down at the coffee klatch are now national politics first, then the state, then maybe the county, and then nobody even knows who their city councilors are, you know. And this is where we are right now. And so I think we could do a lot by reversing that, or at least evening that out.
That's right. You know, I was going to mention that too, because I think, you know, Chuck, you mentioned the 2020 election, and so we're of course already getting these guesses at how people are going to vote because of their vote in the last presidential election. And I think I'm always trying to remind myself who are these sources, where are they coming from, and to try not to pay too much attention, because they don't understand necessarily where we are. Aaron and I had a chance last fall to kind of be part of a National Public Radio crew that came here to find out about voters for that congressional 8th district. And I really respect National Public Radio. I learned a lot on that trip, but I also learned, you know, they're doing their best to try to cover this local area for how much local coverage in one day, or how much?
They were here for like 4 days, and they covered the whole 8th district and they talked to probably 50 to 100 people in that time. But it's an enormous, the night before they did the live broadcast in Duluth, I was a part of that live broadcast. So I went down the night before, and I was in the same hotel as them, and I was to meet up with this crew. And I knocked on the door of the hotel room, and it opened, and you would have thought it was like a college dorm. They were literally cramming, you know, like you can imagine from college. And there are pizza boxes, and they didn't want to meet me in the room, like, let's go out here, you know. But that's what they were doing, is collecting and cramming the information. They're remarkable professionals. But like you point out, it's really hard to gain the interest, gain the trust of people to share information when you're working with that little amount of time.
And they came into these stories with an idea of what they thought they would find. So that was a little strange too. And there were even just basic things, that a difference of living in a town, small town, versus living in cities. And I tell this story a lot because it's amazing. But I pointed out the giant racks of logs at the Blandin Paper Company and said, take a look at that. You're probably never going to see that much wood stacked up, you know? And I had one of the producers say, are you telling me that papers made of wood?
Yeah.
You know, and not that she, I mean, she's a brilliant young woman, yeah, but just like thinking about the difference.
Yeah.
And those are the folks that, you know, because we don't have local media in that way.
And to be fair, when I go to a big city, I don't know how the line to the coffee shop works, you know,
yeah,
so it's like,
no,
there's a,
I know, I totally,
flip
yes,
side to the whole
yeah
thing. Yeah.
But, I think thinking about where your news is coming from and thinking about the, like you said, the hierarchy that mostly you're hearing, seeing national news and people talk about, seem to talk about that more. And that's why you should support great local news organizations, right?
In that's
our,
right,
in our region, there aren't.
That's what we're all about here.
Yeah, there are not that many left, and don't have funding for journalism in the way that things happened before either. So it's important to support them.